Thank you, James. Trying to find a point. Yeah, it's a privilege to have an opportunity to preach again. As James said, my name is Jess. I think the funnest thing when you're about to preach and people speak before you and they say some of the things you were going to say, you're like, okay, God, I get the memo. I get it. I think the importance, James shared his story with regards to home group, how he joined a home group and how he stayed for 3 weeks. And tonight, I also just wanted to start there, but also just to welcome the new people and say you're welcome. And the second thing is, yeah, to just be welcome. I think that's an important thing. Be welcomed in this space. I am going to pray for us and for myself before I start. Heavenly Father God, this evening, Lord Jesus, we come before you, Father God, to just honor you for being our God, to thank you for bringing us together, God, as your people, Father God. Lord, I pray that those people who are looking in, Father, that they would see you, they would see a people, Father God, who are wanting to give themselves, Lord God, to living lives that are honoring and pleasing to you, Father God. Lord, I pray that as I speak, Lord Jesus, that you would use these words, Father God, to minister to each one of us as your children. This I ask in your name. Amen. If you're joining us for the first time, we're doing a series on basics of the faith. And then Mark Agar, who leads this community, did part one of the church last week. So I'm doing part two of that. I think the importance of the church is we are the church. As the people, not this building, we as a community, as a people who have accepted Christ as their savior. So when I speak about the church, I'm not talking about a building. I'm talking about us as a gathering. I think that's the most important thing. I have been part of Church in Maine now for a couple of years. Church in Maine has been around. We were for a while in Rondebosch. I don't know if you're in Rondebosch, you know where Pick and Pay is. Upstairs, there used to be a cinema. And we used to meet there in that cinema a couple of years ago. So I had a friend that invited me to Church in Maine. So I'm from East London, and I'd come to Cape Town first year. I wasn't like James, who joined a church. I actually just went to varsity and went home. And after VAC, I'd literally just want to go home. So my first year in Cape Town was just school, home, and going back to where I came from. And the second year, a friend of mine invited me to Church on Main. She's still part of Church on Main. She goes to the morning meeting. And the first time she invited me, she organized a lift with one of the members who stayed in Plumstead. So someone picked me up. Someone took me to church. That happened for 2 to 3 weeks. And by the third week, I was like, okay, it's fine. You don't have to come pick me up. I know the route. I can take the bus. It's cool. So I started to go to church by myself, and I used to sit at the back because I wanted to be quickly in and quickly out. And so I went, I think I was I don't know how many weeks in. And as I was in church, I was like, okay, God, I don't want to be here anymore. This is my last day that I'm coming. And if the same way as there is that passage. So what used to happen is the welcome team used to stand actually at the door on both sides. So as you come in, it's this tunnel of people and you're like, oh my gosh, I have to just make it through. So you would come in and just go, hi, 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 hi. The goal was just to get out through. And I remember I just came through. And as I came through everybody, Andrew Thompson, who started this church, was coming out of the kitchen. And as he came through, he's like, hi. And I'm like, hi. And we introduced each other. And the first thing he asked me, do you have a home group? I was like, no. And he's like, okay, cool, I'll find you one. Literally, on the other side, the kitchen was this side, and the door to the auditorium was on the other side. Liska, who used to be, who became my home group leader, was coming out of the auditorium. And then he's like, Liska, here's a member for you. Great. And he just left us. And I was like, okay. That is how I got introduced to home group. And she was very gracious. She took my details. We sat next to each other. And it happens that she used to stay in Kenilworth and I was in Plumstead. And that's how I got to stay at church in Maine. And I remember that day distinctly because it was a day that I had just said, God, I'm not coming again. This is my last time. And it ended up being the first of many times. So that is the beginning of me being part of the church, of this church, let's say that. And yeah, and so as I was preparing for tonight, I was thinking of the church and I went through the Bible. I think most people, when they talk about the church, in my mind, I always have this thing that all the scriptures about the church are somewhere. Someone could just say, okay, this is the book, go read. But as I was going through the Bible again, I realized, oh my gosh, there's so many places. How do you help someone when you talk about the church and you're saying, okay, go read about the church? You actually have to put it to helpfully put it together for them. It's like, okay, here are the references. You can go through it yourself. So I was really, I think, not daunted, but I was reminded of just saying, when we talk about the church, yes, it sounds like all these scriptures are in one place, unless I give you a reference, but they're all over the Bible. And tonight I just wanted to highlight three, and I also want to highlight someone in the Bible that actually, I think, that has kept me in the church. The first scripture that I'm going to read is from Ephesians 5, 23 to 27. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, his body, and is himself its savior. Now, as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit in everything to their husbands. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, so that he might present the church to himself in splendor, without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she might be holy and without blemish. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 27. Now you are the body of Christ and individually members of it. Colossians 1, verse 18. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in everything he might be preeminent. And those three scriptures, as I unpack it, things will pop, will just stand out for you that have really impacted me. I think the first thing is that Jesus is the head of the church. That's a very important point, that while you're listening, to remind yourself, to remind us that he is the head of this church. Yes, there are leaders, but Jesus is the head of this church. And a couple of years ago, I was trying to, I think it was more reconciling the church. What I mean by that is there is all of us. We come from different backgrounds, different places. We think, we're all different. We think differently. We process things differently. We have different gifts. So it's just a lot of different. And I think I was like, Lord, how does this work? How do we become one? As you and the Father is one, so God's desire is for us to be one. So how do we do this thing? And we did a Bible study by Beth Moore on the book of James. And I think as I was going through trying to figure out how does the church become one, how do we as people who are sinful, who actually faulty, who do things to each other, unintentionally hurt each other, do life and do church. As we were going through this Bible study, I really felt God just highlight the life of James. So we're not going to look very much into the book of James. We're going to look at the person. who James was. And I will highlight some of the things that I felt God highlight to me about the person James. And the first thing in Matthew chapter 13, verse 55, just to let us show you who James was. James is the brother of Jesus. And Matthew 13, verse 55 says, Is not this the carpenter's son? Is not his mother called Mary? And are not his brothers James and Joseph and Simon and Lucas? So this is when they were questioning Jesus. They were questioning who Jesus was. And James is his brother. And this is where he first also gets mentioned, that James was Jesus' brother. And then in John chapter 17, verse 2 to 5. Now the Jews' feast of booths was at hand. So his brother said to him, "Leave here and go to Judea, that your disciples also may see the works you are doing. For no one works in secret if he seeks to be known openly. If you do these things, show yourself to the world." This is when Jesus' brothers were talking to Jesus. They wanted him to show himself. And I think the beautiful thing is Jesus knew it wasn't his time, even though they were encouraging him to show himself and his disciples. But I think the important part is verse 5, where it says, "For not even his brothers believed in him." Jesus' brothers did not believe that he was the Messiah. And this is James. James is Jesus' brother, but he doesn't believe who his brother is. And 1 Corinthians 15, verse 7. Then, this is after Jesus has died, and after 3 days he rose again. And he appeared to the apostles, and then he appeared to James, then to all of the apostles. James is Jesus' brother who did not believe that Jesus is the Messiah. James is someone who, after Jesus died, appears to him. And the amazing thing about James is that in Galatians 2 verse 9, it says, "And when James and Cephas and John, who seemed to be pillars," this is after Jesus appears to James, James becomes a pillar in the church. And I think tonight, what I wanted to emphasize for us and what stood out for me and what stands out about James is the fact that James saw the resurrected Jesus. And when he saw the resurrected Jesus, his life became different. And in Acts 1 verse 14, it says, "And all these with one accord were devoting themselves to prayer, together with the woman and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and his brothers." James is Jesus' brother. A life that of someone who doubted who Jesus was became a pillar of the church after he had seen the resurrected Jesus. And for tonight, for us, this is what changed my life when it comes to church, when it comes to building church, when it comes to living a life for Jesus. It was because of James, because when he saw Jesus, there was nothing else for him except to live a life for the brother that he actually did not believe in. And James is the one that wrote the book of James. And it's amazing, the thing is, if my brother was the Messiah, I would claim that. And everybody would want, I would make sure everybody knows. But James writes the book, and in James 1 verse 1, he says, "James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ." A servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ. He became a servant. We are called to serve the church. James understood that after he had seen the resurrected Jesus. And when it's hard to see Jesus in the midst of life, but when you are looking for the resurrected Jesus, which is the cross, which is in Scripture to remind you why we are the church, why we are part of the church. Because there's, I always say there's life. Life happens. And when life happens, you need to remind yourself why you are the church. Because there's a world out there that says so many things about the church. There is us who fail. And that doesn't mean that the church doesn't exist and this church is not strong and the church is not God's purpose. It is. But the biggest thing that we need is to remind ourselves of this resurrected Jesus so that we are able to be pillars in the church. And the biggest thing for me that I learned through James's life was there's power in the cross. How I remind myself, how I get reminded of the power of the cross is through friends' life. We have a forum group, friends. There's three of us now, we used to be four, that meet once a month. And we share just four things about our lives. How's work, how's family, how's your relationships, and how are you doing spiritually. So it's spiritually, work, and yeah, spiritually, work, your family and your friends, and what you're looking forward to. And it is timed, you prepare before you come. And we've been meeting now for more than 2 years, I think. And the amazing thing about this group of women is that before then, we weren't friends. We met each other at church, and then, yeah, we just formed this group. And yeah, and it's been amazing to see God move in all our lives. He doesn't move at the same tempo. That's the one thing. But how I've seen Jesus in these four women's lives has been when there was dry seasons in mine. And, you know, it's hard to share when things are rough because you're like, oh, this is not going good. This is not going good. But, and then someone else's life, things are going well and you see God move. And that has been part of our story, that the story of our lives hasn't been the same and the seasons that we're in haven't been the same. And because of the consistency of our meetings once a month, I have seen Jesus when I did not see him in my life. I have seen Jesus in their lives move. And that has kept me constant because it reminded me that Jesus is alive. Jesus still moves, even though I could say, I don't know where you are now. But because I saw them, and I could hear the stories and they'd shared the stories, I was able to say, I see you. You are alive, you are faithful, so I'm holding on. And that is the church, that we to each other show Jesus when we do relationships in that way. And that is one of the things that I learned through the life of James. And then in also with James, I think the thing was, James had denied Jesus. Like, he didn't believe him. Not denied, but he didn't believe who he was. And now he died and he rose, and then he saw him. And I think with that, sometimes we can be so stuck in the past and not move towards where God is taking us. And I think with James, it was, he had to believe that he was forgiven. And he moved into what God had purposed and called him to. And I think the beauty of that is he believed he was forgiven. He believed that, and he believed God. And as the church, that is what God is calling us to believe him, to believe in the forgiveness that he has already given to us. Because that cross speaks of that. The cross speaks that we are all forgiven. If we have accepted Christ as our Savior, you are forgiven. And because he's become a pillar of the church, how you only move into what God has purposed and called you when you believe. There's a freedom that comes with that. I fully believe that. And I think James walked in that. He lived in that. And it's been such an encouragement to me when I'm like, Lord, I have failed. I've done this. I repent and I move forward. and believe in the forgiveness of my sins. And practically, it is seeking our identity in Christ. And one of the things practically for me has been to take scripture that reminds me of who God says I am continuously. Because the thing is, when I move outside, there's magazines, there's a lot of things that are always echoing another message. And as the church and as somebody who believes in Jesus, I need to remind myself who Jesus says I am, so that when the winds come, I can look forward and trust that he is with me. And the other point is you loving the church. You don't love the church by just coming. You come and you enjoy and you worship and you leave. There are 6 days you are not with these people. And I remember a while back, I work for Church in Maine, and I used to come to the evening meeting sometimes and just sit and be like, Lord, I'm so tired. And I wasn't engaged, to be honest with you. I was coming because I was supposed to be here. And sometimes I'd sit there at the back and crit, they could have done this better, this and this and that and that. And I think when you don't pray for something, when your heart is not invested in the thing, it's easy to pull it apart with your words, just with comments that you throw. I'm not saying the church is perfect. I am not perfect to be saying a song like that. I'm not perfect. No one is perfect. But we all are trying our best. And the thing is, when you sit and you see a gap, I believe it's God's actually prompting you. I want you to start praying about that thing. Sometimes it's not doing anything first. It's to pray for that thing. Because you might actually be the solution to that thing. And I know this is, it's very hard. I love this church not because it's perfect. I love this church because she is God's. I love this church because I pray for this church. I love this church and I see the beauty of this church because God is the head of this church. And that's the only reason that I can say I love the church. And that's what I really learned. It's like you only fault what you actually are not investing in your heart and all of you. And it starts, sometimes it's not just your talents. It starts by a prayer. And from there, you go all in. You're not going to lose anything. I haven't lost anything. I have gained a perspective that Christ is in front. And it's an amazing perspective because Tama a while back used, said, don't keep your eyes off the waves. And that's what this does. When you pray for the church, even when things happen, you go back to the one who's the head of it. And that gives you perspective of the beauty of the church. And I think that's an important thing, is that we keep the cross central. We keep prayer as part of our lives and to pray for our community and our church. And I think those are like such an important thing, is that we lean in to scripture. I love the book of James. I love James and I love the book of James because I got to know the person. When I read that book, I understand where the person comes from. And he's not writing the things that he writes because he had it all together. No, he is writing because he understands who saved him. And it really, James said earlier that he used to work at church. And every time I used to go, James. And I would say nothing to him. I would just say, James, James, it's not about you. It's about the Bible. It's about that James. But I really, honestly, it was that thing where I just read that book, and I was like, oh my gosh, Jesus, I see things anew. I see things afresh. And so every time he was around, it was just a reminder of another verse or another scripture. And it's amazing when scripture gets opened up in that way that it becomes so tangible and so part of you on day that you can just sort of be like, I didn't know that. And so in the scripture, Christ is revealed. In the scriptures, the people who wrote these books become real. They were real people. It's just, it seems sometimes that they're far off because you don't understand. And I get that, and I've been there. But the church and how we serve and do life with each other is revealed in these scriptures. And these words were not written because they had it all together. It was God revealing himself to them so that they could reveal and show us something of God. And that's why when verse 2, James 1, verse 2, it says, count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds, for you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. It produced steadfastness in James to stay in the church and to become a pillar in the church. So my encouragement for tonight is for us to be a church that see the resurrected Jesus, a church that is focused on the cross. And this is where, when at the end, Revelation chapter 7, verse 14 says, these are the ones coming out of the great tribulation. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore, they are before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple, and he who sits on the throne will shelter them with his presence. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more. The sun shall not strike them, nor any scorching heat, for the Lamb in the midst of the throne will be their shepherd, and he will guide them to springs of living water, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. And it's such an amazing promise, and it's such an amazing promise that I read when I lose perspective when it comes to the church, when I lose perspective about what God is going to do. And it's a great reminder. That's to say, the scriptures are a great place to remind us about this beautiful bride that God has called us to. It's just tonight, to end off, to say, I'm grateful for this church. I thank God for specifically now saying Church on Main. I've been part of this church for a couple of years, and I've seen the beauty of this church through the people who serve her. We do have a lot of students coming in and going, but I love that God always brings people that new people that are gifted and people who he has gifted to serve the church. And my encouragement to all of us, stay in, stay plugged in. Even when the going gets tough, seek community and seek people to walk with you this journey in serving the church and in being the church outside. And we can become the church that God has purposed and called us to be.